Today is the August 20th, 2017 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Bruce Hardy's message is titled, Leaning on Grace Too Hard. If you would like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Support Us button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Hogan is in Houston, helping James after his surgery, so you have me today, and I'm excited to be here to speak on basically leaning too hard on grace and what that means. Sometimes in the news we'll see an example assumed to be unconditional love. When a parent says, my child would never do that, but it's obvious to others that the child actually did that. I'm reminded of the verse on love in 1 Corinthians 13:7, which ends with believing all things. And that parent was believing all things, that the child would never do that. But it's hard to perceive whether the parent had any expectations of the child, and whether the parent's love depended on them meeting those expectations. So we can, however, examine our lives and look a little bit closer at God's expectations for us as His children. And that's we who are under grace. And by grace, I mean that we've been saved by Christ's work on the cross, and it's not by any works that we have done. It's a pure, unconditional love, and we are thankful for that. But we will look closer at these expectations of the Lord. When I thought of God's expectations, I began by asking, what is God's law? And that led me to the Holman Bible Dictionary to check out a definition for the law. And it said, the written revelation of the will of God. Did point out that translation of the word law varies. So instead of law, you might often see in the word God expressing expectations with a commandment, a word, a decree, a judgment, a custom, or a prohibition, it says. But basically all of these are communicating God's will. And the first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch, and they are known as the books of the law, and that is because of the commandments that God gave Moses, the Ten Commandments that we're all familiar with. Excuse me. Now, God promised a blessing if the Jews observed those Ten Commandments. In Exodus 19, verses 5 to 6, if you want to follow along with that, that's Exodus 19, 5 to 6, regarding His commandments, He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So God gives us a great blessing regarding keeping those commandments. A little bit more on the laws. These came to cover all areas of community life. Very extensive. Examples range from if you have infection on your skin to if there was some type of a mold in the walls on your house. There were laws to deal with that, or direction from God on how to deal with that. In addition, there was some oral elaboration on the law in the New Testament. referred to as the traditions of the elders. Example would be in Mark 7, chapter 5. That's Mark 7, chapter 5. And it says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?'" So basically they were accusing Jesus of teaching his disciples to disobey the traditions of the elders. And really all I'm trying to bring up here is just that there were oral traditions that were expressing God's expectations, just as in earlier written commandments. So far, you might say the law is very complicated. And I would agree, it could get very extensive, as we said, down to daily community life. But Jesus did simplify it for us. In Matthew 22, chapter 22, verse 40, he says, "On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." And to paraphrase that, basically in those he's saying, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what the law and the prophets depend on, are those two commandments. So some might ask, well, if it's simple, and would you say that it is the law is good? Are these expectations good? And I would say, remember, the law is God's will, and we know that God does not change. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, if you'd like to look at that, Romans chapter 7, verse 12, we see where it says, "So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good." So we see that the law can be simplified, as Christ mentioned. We see that from Romans 7:12 that the law is good. So then you might ask, well, can anyone keep it? And basically we are incapable of fulfilling the law. We're reminded of that in Romans chapter 7, verses 14. Says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." So just as a reminder, if we are not believers, that we look at the law is spiritual, and we are dead in our sins, so we are not able to keep the law. So what is one purpose of the law? It is to lead us to Christ. We see in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24, it says, "So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith." So, why does the law lead us to Christ? Because he fulfills the law, God does, the law of sacrifice for sins. Basically, the law of sacrifice for sins is basically saying that blood must be shed for sin. And we have not shedded blood for sin, but because man is dead spiritually, as we said earlier. Remember, the law is spiritual. So man can't keep it. We're flesh. We're carnal. So man has this dead spirituality about him. God gives faith to men he chooses for salvation. And by faith given of God, man puts his trust in Christ's work on the cross. And Christ's work on the cross satisfies the law of sacrifice for sin. Because, again, blood must be shed for sin, according to God's laws. So the righteousness of Christ is imputed to that man, justification, you've probably heard that word, and the man is born again spiritually. We read this in Romans 4:3. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So then we might say, okay, are all of God's expectations satisfied now that the law of sacrifice for sins has been satisfied by Christ's work on the cross, not because of works we've done? Just as a reminder, so we're not works-oriented. It's by grace, by God's grace, that we're saved by that work on the cross. So, God's expectations, partially satisfied by the work on the cross. But God fulfills other laws. There's an expectation beyond Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We read in Romans chapter 6, verses 15, if you want to follow along there. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 15. It says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. You read that again. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. So basically the word is saying, grace does not mean that we live a watered-down sanctification process. That we are to grow in our walk with the Lord and not lean too hard on that grace. So God expects us to keep His commandments and states it throughout the Bible, not just in the Old Testament. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 9, that's Romans 13, 8 to 9, the word says, Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So do you recognize these commandments from the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses? God's repeating them here in the New Testament. Also, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, here we continue to see God's expectations. It says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We're still talking the law and the prophets in Matthew. Then again in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, it says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So in all these verses that we went through, we're saying that God expects us to keep His commandments and states it throughout the Bible. Now we also see that Christ reinforces God's expectations or laws. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 18. He states, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." So basically he's saying, I did not come just to go to the cross for you. My Father's will is more than that. And the good news is, as you think about that, you're hopefully not thinking Bruce is talking legalism here. Hopefully you're seeing the good news is that beyond the cross, Christ reminds us of his authority and what he is capable of. Okay? I'm not saying it's what we're capable of. And Christ shows us this throughout Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And I'm going to use one example here. If you'd like to look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Basically, here we see that Christ is displaying his authority with the words, "I say." Very important words, "I say." So the verse says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Now, again, those words, "I say to you," are important. You hopefully recognize the Old Testament commandments. Basically, you shall not murder. And Christ is saying, I say beyond that, not only should you not murder, but don't even be angry with your brother. He's showing his authority as God in the flesh, God with us, Christ. And hopefully that excites you, because remembering that Christ is in you, you've got his spirit in you, and he's reminding you of that. And he's reminding you of what is possible with that spirit that's inside you, that not only will you not murder, but you are able to not even be angry with your brother, because he allows that in you. As you're born again, you've got that spirit that we talked about, and you're trusting in him, obeying and submitting to him. You see, often in life, we're defiantly saying to someone, whether it's your parent or whether it's your boss, you might say, "You do not have such authority over me and cannot make that happen." You probably can reflect on that at least one time in your life, maybe in your youth, let's say. But again, Christ says, "I've got that authority from my Father." The Father gives Christ the Son that authority, and it's evidenced by his resurrection, the miracles that Christ performed, all the other testimonies about him. All these are our assurance from the Father that Christ has that authority. And Christ is reminding us of it here. So what should be our response? Basically, it's not about our righteousness. It's Christ. Continuing on in our reading, earlier we looked at the commandments in Romans in chapter 13. And after those commandments, God says in 14, it says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires." So he walks you through these expectations, his commandments, and then what does he say? Does he say, "I expect you to do this"? No. He says, "I expect Christ to do this. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any provisions for your flesh." So, we're understanding that Christ came to fulfill His Father's complete will, not just satisfying the law of sacrifice for sins. He did that through Christ going to the cross for you. You're trusting in Him. You're being born again. Now you're spiritual. You can obey His law. That can't be taking away from you your salvation. Praise the Lord for that. But God is much more than just grace. We experience that grace on the cross. We experience that grace as He's building in our lives. But His expectation is still there. He's got that unconditional love for us, which we weren't sure of as we look in our lives and other relationships, as we talked earlier at the beginning. With people, that's hard to see, but with God, we know it's unconditional on the cross. But His expectations continue. In 1 Peter 1, verses 16, that's 1 Peter 1, 16. And Steve read this earlier. It says, "Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" He doesn't change that. Remember, this is God's will. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What's changed? You've changed. Now you've been born spiritually. So Christ is in you. That's what's changed. And He understands that it's going to be a fight. What I mean by fight, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, He says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell." So what He's stressing there is that we still have this body. We are still physical, carnal, and that's going to fight with the spiritual. As we said earlier, you've been born again. You got this Spirit of Christ living inside of you, but you're going to struggle with the physical body. But keep in mind, it's about Christ fulfilling His Father's will, not you. If you're still saying, as you're listening to this, "I am too weak," or "I am too fearful," etc., you put it in there, whatever you want to put, then you missed one of the main points of what we're talking about. Because we're not saying it's by your strength or your ability. So, what does submitting to Christ beyond grace look like in your daily walk? Do you keep putting yourself in situations of temptation? Or do you submit to Christ and getting rid of it? I think of Gary Galligan's example of avoiding certain billboards when he was driving around town because he didn't want even a hint of temptation by looking at an inappropriate billboard. Some say, well, maybe, you know, that's extreme. But that was his conviction. But it was a good example to us of removing those temptations, submitting to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me to get rid of this. You might say, well, I'm a worrier. And that's just who I am. Or do you confess that sin to Christ and submit to his desire to work in you, letting him change you inside out by the Spirit of Christ? Again, not yourself, but Christ. Do you say, I'm under grace when it comes to the hard things? Or submit to God, the unchanging God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, who's able to, by his strength, by Christ working in you, change you, help you to fulfill, meet God's expectations through Christ, not by yourself. So, hopefully, you are more excited about God's commandments, his laws, for they are of God. It's his will. And hopefully when you think of that, you want to know him even more after today. Hopefully you're encouraged to take a look at him and his, not just his grace, but his justice, his mercy, his righteousness. Study all these attributes about God. And hopefully, too, you're hearing and understanding and more excited, encouraged to look at God in Christ and be encouraged, inspired by his power, and that he is inside you, and that by his work that you're going to be able to meet those expectations of God, to grow in your sanctification, being more holy, and be excited about that relationship with the Lord Jesus, because that's what it is. As we all know, it's a relationship, and he wants you to be looking beyond, you know, just his work on the cross. As excited as we are about that, as much as that means to us, and hopefully that's what you take away today, are those points. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we just thank you for your word, your examples to us of unconditional love, your work on the cross, your filling us with your Spirit, and just help us to truly grasp the power that is in us. Help us to really grasp who you are, and how magnificent that is, and that we can walk with the one true God and just have an exciting life here and look forward to eternity with you and just be joyful in that walk, Lord, and be growing in the grace that is in you on the cross and beyond. We praise you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.